Our scripture reading this afternoon comes from Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Psalm of David, a familiar psalm in which David declares that the Lord is his light and his salvation. And our text this afternoon is found in verses 4 and 5 of that psalm. But we will read the entire psalm. Hear the word of the Lord, the word of the living God, as we find it in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Just reread our text from verses 4 and 5. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. While many of the titles to the Davidic Psalms provide a historic occasion for the psalm, we do not know the historical context of Psalm 27. The psalm does give us some hints as to what David is going through or has gone through in this psalm, but there's no definitive historical connection. David says in this psalm that he has been delivered from his enemies, as we read in verse 2, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. So David's obviously in some sort of a conflict or has survived some sort of a conflict. But David also seems to be expecting to be attacked, as we read in verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. And so David's is either in the midst of a conflict in this psalm, or he's just survived. The Lord has just brought him from an attack. And while we don't know the historical context of this psalm, we do know this about David. We know that his sole source of strength here was that the Lord was his light and his salvation. We know that the Lord was such a strength to him that David was able to confidently say in verse 3 that though an army encamp around him, he would not fear. Though an entire army would stand against his singular person, he would not fear because the Lord was his strength. How did David have such a confident strength and faith in the Lord? The answer to that seems to be given in verses 4 and 5. David remained confident and strong in the Lord because he had a single-minded devotion towards God. It was his one desire in life to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. David knew and valued the importance of God's presence in his life. Now, you may never be in the exact situation of David, where you're running for your life from enemies, or where you have an entire army encamped about you seeking to destroy you. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, you are constantly in an intense spiritual warfare. And in that warfare, you have a sworn enemy seeking to destroy you. You read in 1 Peter that the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy that is seeking to destroy us as followers of Christ. And not only that, don't just have Satan seeking us. Our own flesh wages war against us. Our old man seeks to destroy us. And the world as well presents many different desires that are contrary to God's will for our lives. We are in the midst of a spiritual warfare. And so if you are to remain strong in the midst of this spiritual warfare, you must have a single-minded devotion towards God. You must desire and seek to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. For it is in dwelling in His presence that you will be given the strength, the confident strength to fight. So Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5, calls you today to desire and seek to dwell in the house of the Lord. One of the first things that we notice in Psalm 27, verse 4, is that David had an exclusive desire. He states, "One thing I have desired of the Lord." David wanted one thing, and one thing only. It was an antithetical desire that was for something and against everything else. It was also an undistracted desire that kept David focused. He pursued this one thing. Do you have a singular, exclusive desire? See, we are surrounded by desires in this world, and some of them are good and noble. The desire for marriage, the desire for a well-paying job, desire to have a family. Those are all good and noble desires. But other desires are sinful and harmful. It is when you covet your neighbor's goods. That is a sinful desire. When you covet your neighbor's wife, that leads to adultery. So there are good and noble desires, but there's also sinful and harmful ones. But the one thing that you need to know about your sinful desires is that they will often produce sinful action. And we see this in the story of Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eve saw that the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was to be desired. It was to be desired to make one wise. So she took of that fruit. She took of that fruit and ate of it. So we see the connection between her desire for that fruit and then her action, and physically eating of that fruit and breaking God's law. And we also see that with the story of David and Bathsheba. David saw Bathsheba bathing. He desired her. He lusted after her. And that led to the physical transgression of God's law and the physical act of adultery. There's a direct connection between sinful desire and sinful action. And the only way that we can keep ourselves from a multitude of sinful desires is to have an exclusive desire for the Lord. You see, our divided desires in this world for hundreds of things cause us to be weak in our devotion to the Lord. If you are chasing after 100 things, you will be weak in your desire for those hundreds of things. But if you chase after one thing exclusively, you can put all your might and your strength into the pursuit of that one thing. It's like Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot serve God and mammon. You either hate the one or you'll love the other. And so our focus, our desire needs to be exclusively for the Lord. We need to have an exclusive desire, like David had a desire to exclusively dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. But what was so significant about David's desire for the house of the Lord? What was so significant about the house of the Lord that David had a singular desire for it? There are several things that we must understand about the house of the Lord to answer that. The house of the Lord, or the tabernacle as it was in David's life, was a symbol of God's gracious dwelling with his people, as we read in Exodus 25, verse 8. Exodus 25, verse 8, we read, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." There the Lord is commanding Moses to have the people of Israel make him a sanctuary so that he can dwell among them. So the house of the Lord is a symbol of God dwelling with his people. But it's more than that. As we read a few chapters later in Exodus 29, verse 45 through 46, we read there, "I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." There we see that God dwelling with his people was a declaration of God's covenantal relationship with them. God dwelling with his people was a declaration that he would be their God and that they would be his people. And so, house of the Lord is a symbol. It's the declaration that God will be the God of Israel, and Israel will be his people. It's a gracious act of God. So in other words, David, when he says that he desires to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, he is saying that he desires to know the intimate, covenantal, gracious, and personal presence of the Lord. He desires to know in a personal, intimate manner who his light and his salvation is. He wanted to commune and be with his Savior. And the wondrous thing for us today is that the symbol of the tabernacle has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The tabernacle, the house of the Lord, was a symbol of God dwelling with his people. And the reality was fulfilled in Jesus Christ taking on human flesh and dwelling among us, or tabernacling among us, as we read in John 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God." Jesus Christ beautifully fulfilled the symbology of the tabernacle when he came to this earth in human flesh. And we have the witness of that in his Holy Spirit dwelling with us today. God dwells inside each one of his children by his Holy Spirit. And wonders what a wondrous and amazing thing that is. That we don't have to go to some special tent of meeting, some special tabernacle to dwell with the Lord. The Lord dwells with us, with each one of those who confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And God's presence is especially with those who gather together for worship on his holy day. God promises to dwell with us, to be in a special, unique manner with those who gather to worship his name. And God's presence is with us, too, when we read his word, when we come before him in prayer. And so then it is an amazing thing that we as Christians have the privilege to gather to worship this God together. What a privilege it is for us to approach the table of the Lord this afternoon as well. It is at this table that we get to behold the beauty of the Lord. David truly desired to know the beauty of the Lord. As we read in verse 4, declares that one of his reasons for wanting to dwell in the house of the Lord is so that he can behold the beauty of the Lord. David longed to know and to see his Savior. He longed to behold his beauty. to gaze upon, consider, and ponder his attributes, his grace, his holiness, his justice, his power, his might. David wants to know his Savior more and more, to consider his beauty. And as we approach the table of the Lord this afternoon, this needs to be our desire. We must desire to know and behold the beauty of our light and salvation. For the table of the Lord is a declaration. It's a declaration to us of the only way it is possible for God to dwell with his people. The table of the Lord is a declaration of the beauty of the Lord as revealed to us in Jesus Christ. The table of the Lord declares to us an amazing sign, the only way that an infinitely holy and righteous God can dwell with a sinful people filled with sinful desires. You see, the holiness of God demands perfect obedience. God cannot allow sin to dwell in his presence. Yet here we are as a sinful people, people who daily transgress the law of God. How can such a righteous God dwell with us? How can we dwell with God? The bread and the wine at the table of the Lord represent how that can be. The bread and the wine, the picture of the broken body and shed blood of our precious Savior. It's a declaration that Christ took upon himself our sins and imputed his perfect righteousness to us so that he could truly dwell with us in all his grace and merciful compassion. And because of his sacrifice on our behalf, we have the promise and the assurance that we will dwell with the Lord all the days of our life and for the rest of eternity. The rest of eternity, consider that we will behold the beauty of the Lord. We will behold the face of our precious Savior. And the table of remembrance that we eat at now will culminate in the marriage feast of the Lamb with his bride, the church. Because of what Christ did for us on the cross, because Christ came in human flesh and dwelt among us, we have the promise of Psalm 23 that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What blessedness is ours. What joy it is to come together to worship this God, to dwell in his house, to worship his holy name, to gather together as his people, to ponder his beauty, that he would condescend to sinners such as ourselves and dwell among us so that we could dwell with him and know his beauty, his kindness, his grace. You must see, too, that David did not simply desire to dwell in the house of the Lord. He acted upon that desire. He says in verse 4, "One thing I have desired, that will I seek." David actively sought the house of the Lord. And so our desire for the presence of the Lord must be met with action. It's very easy for us to say, "I love the Lord and I desire him." But it's another thing to be in prayer each and every day. It's another thing to be reading his word every day. And that's where the true test of our desire comes in. Yes, it is hard. It's hard at times to dwell in the presence of the Lord. But we must be sure that we persevere in it. There are times of weakness when it is hard to pray and read God's word, where it is extremely difficult to dwell in his presence, to dwell with the Lord. But we must meet those times with even greater devotion to God. It is in those times that our great enemy is seeking to wound us, to slaughter us. In those times, we must place our hope upon the Lord who is our light and salvation. We must dwell with the Lord in those times for us to receive the grace that he has promised us. is indwelling in God's presence, that we are given the strength to endure. And that's what David's declaration in verse 5 is about. David desires to dwell with the Lord because he knows that in dwelling with the Lord, he will be given the grace to stand. It says in verse 5, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." It is in walking with the Lord, it is in dwelling with him, in meditating upon him, that we receive the grace to stand confident. The Lord was the sole source of David's strength. It was the Lord who hid him in the day of adversity. It was the Lord who protected him from his enemies. It was the Lord who set him high upon a rock. And so it is the Lord who delivers you in the day of adversity. It is he who grants you the strength to stand. The Lord alone was David's light and his salvation. And he alone is your light and salvation. All our strength to stand, to battle against the evil one, to battle against our own flesh and against the world, that only comes from the Lord. It is in the Lord alone that we have strength. And it's to him alone that we must turn. It is to him alone that we must go to seek to dwell in his presence. And yes, this is a humbling thought, that I have no strength in myself to stand. I have no strength in myself to fight against sin. But it's also an immensely encouraging thought. Because one has created this entire world, the one who sent his son to suffer and die for me. He is the one who gives me the strength to stand. It is he who is my light and salvation. And that's comforting. That gives us joy. That gives us strength to stand. That encourages us that he, the God of all power, the God of all might, the God of all strength, it is he who gives me strength. He is my light and salvation. I can take comfort and hope from that. And so our ability to stand, to fight the fight of faith, comes from our intimate communion with the Lord. It is in meditating upon his presence that we will be encouraged and granted the strength to fight. And so seek to dwell with the Lord. Desire to dwell with the Lord. Meditate upon him. Seek the Lord as you partake of the supper this afternoon. Seek the presence of the Lord as you go about your week. Seek the Lord as you engage in all your duties that he has called you to do. Know that the Lord is your strength in all things. He and he alone has delivered you from the punishment of sin. And he alone has delivered you from the power of sin. He has granted you his resurrection life. It is he. He alone will sustain you midst of this world. Praise be to his name. Praise be to our light and our salvation. May we seek to dwell ever in the house of the Lord. Let's respond by singing.